Hello, and welcome to Creative Purpose, where we'll talk about taking action towards your creative desires and look at what's holding you back so you can take bold moves forward. Welcome, friends, back to the podcast. I have a guest on. Her name is Christina, and we met through Patrice Washington's Purpose to Platform program, and I'm excited to have you join in our conversation, and we'll just be sharing about our journeys and different things that come up in our lives. So, Christina, would you like to introduce yourself?
Okay, well, hello. Hello, Naomi, first of all, and hello, podcast listeners. My name is Christina, and I am from Greece. Wow, I didn't realize how hard it is to actually introduce oneself. What could I tell you about myself? Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing at the moment, maybe just to give you like a bit of a background story. So I'm working in sales in a German IT company. And not long ago, I think it was just before Christmas, I joined a free challenge on Facebook called Created for Purpose. And funnily enough, when I signed up, I thought it that the theme of the challenge was something related to wealth. I didn't realize what the actual purpose of the challenge was. I felt drawn to it because I thought, you know, you have to get your finances together. So why not join that challenge? You might get some wisdom out of that. So I joined the challenge, and well, at the end of the challenge, there was this call for action. Do you want to sign up for a P2P purposed platform? And so I did. I mean, I usually don't do those kind of impulsive decisions. I don't take those impulsive decisions, but I just knew it was right. So yeah, this is where I am. I've got my daytime job, and I'm being part of a platform, a community rather, of people from around the globe that are pursuing purpose. And that's how I met Naomi as well.
Yeah, that's so cool. I didn't realize that it was kind of just a last minute thing. So it's fun, you know, to see like what spoke to you and what's going to come of joining it for you. So that's cool.
Yeah.
So with your job, is this something like marketing that you've always been interested in, or how did you get into this position?
Well, I used to work in sales as a student. It was kind of like my part-time job. I wasn't supporting myself with the job because luckily I had support from my parents, but I wanted to kind of like have money of my own as well. So it was kind of like extra pocket money, if you like. So so I was doing that as a student, and I realized I was really good at that because I easily connect with people, and people have told me that I can be extremely persuasive as well. So I was doing really good, and actually I was offered a job, as in like a real job, even before I finished university, because they actually wanted to hire me because I was that good. But I knew that my heart wasn't with sales really, or with that job, so I declined. And anyway, so for many years, actually, I was doing completely different things. I mean, I actually studied translation. So after university, I actually did start a job as a translator. And I did that for about a year. And then I moved across to another country. I moved to the UK and did something completely different over there. I was like an event coordinator for many years. Then I moved back to Greece and I started doing the translating thing again and editing and stuff. And then as I was actually soul searching, which I've been doing for a really long time, I realized that actually I was just perpetually doing the same thing that is actually not fulfilling to me. And I decided to move into a different field and do something that I knew that not only was I good at, but that I was enjoying as well. And this sales job came up. I mean, they actually found me. They actually asked me whether I wanted to join the company. And at first I was very reluctant because I thought, oh no, actually I don't want to do sales, you know. It's, but then I remembered that it was actually something that I was good at, so I decided to give it a go because I also knew that it was a better fit than my previous job with the editing and translating. So that's how I ended up in this company. So long-winded answer, but
yeah, no, that's good, because I mean, you know, I'm living in Bangkok now, so it's like nice to talk to somebody else who has had the transitions of living in other cultures and other countries and just even what that's like. Have you found that easy? Have you found that difficult at times?
Well, I've moved, I've lived in four different countries now. So I grew up in Germany. I've lived in the UK. I've lived in Greece. I've lived in France. And the answer is no, I have not found it difficult. I believe that I have this ability to just adjust to places and just get on with it and just start from scratch all over again. But having said that, I did struggle a little bit when I moved to the UK, because it was the first time actually that I moved someplace where I didn't really know anybody apart from my then boyfriend. And I also found it difficult to actually make friendships with people at first, because British people are a little bit more reserved. I mean, they're really lovely. I mean, they are really welcoming once you get to know them and once the ice breaks, but it just takes them a little while longer to actually welcome you into their circle. And it took a long while for me to, get my, really land there. But eventually I did manage. And also the first time I moved to Greece, I also struggled a little bit because I grew up in Germany. So the mentality in Germany is different than the one in Greece. And so I did struggle a little bit coming over here at first with things being a little bit slower, with regards to getting paperwork done, official paperwork, I mean, like going to the embassy and all those places. I did struggle with that because in Germany, you made an appointment, you went there, and within half an hour, the matter was done. Whereas in Greece, it is not as straightforward and one has to be very patient. So, and I'm not very patient, so... overall, I'd say I've always adjusted in the end. So, and I love the different experiences. I mean, I love experiencing different cultures and people, and
make it work. That's good. Yeah. So is your family still in Germany then?
My parents live in Germany, but all my other relatives, my sister, cousins and stuff, they all live in Greece. So
nice.
And I've only been here now for the past 3 years. I mean, I've moved back in March 2018, so I was away for a long time. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Good. Do you see yourself settling now in Greece, or do you still have other countries you want to move to?
No, I think I came here to stay. I think that was a deep desire of mine to finally settle, if you like, in air quotes, settle. But that doesn't mean that I'm not open to exploring different countries again, maybe for a short while, or definitely traveling to different places once we have the possibility of doing that again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But definitely want to settle here, I think. I mean, at least for the near future. I don't have been told otherwise.
Yeah. That's kind of how my story goes. It's like, oh, I think I'm going back to settle. And then, no, something else comes up. So, yeah, makes it interesting for sure. Of wanting to build community, or wanting to build just maybe some roots again, you know, but then also knowing that you have all these other experiences that maybe people back home haven't experienced. So it's, at least for me, it's still kind of like that not fitting in a little bit, you know, just like mm-hmm. finding common ground to talk about. I think it's easier in the international communities because there are other people that have experienced other cultures and other places. So
mm-hmm.
kind of similar thinking that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you like to do on your free time, or do you have any creative projects that you like to work on?
In my free time, I love to read. A lot. I'm a bookworm, so always reading whenever I've got a minute. But and I love going on nature walks. I love nature. I love being out and about in nature. But I haven't done that as much over here. First of all, because Athens is like a beton city. We don't have many parks. And also, it's not really a green space, so to speak. One has to actually travel outside of Athens to actually be in the countryside. And obviously, now with lockdown, we aren't allowed to, you know, go places. But even before the lockdown, I didn't actually go out on many nature adventures as I used to when I was living in the UK, because in the UK I had nature at my doorstep. Literally, I had to get outside of my door and nature was just there. I was living in the Yorkshire Dales, and so I had the opportunity to just be nature every single free minute that I had. And I actually took that opportunity. Whereas here, it's more difficult to actually go out and be in a green space. So I miss that a lot. Obviously I've got the sea, but again, Athens is a really big city. So actually traveling to the seaside, it takes a while. Also, I don't have a car, so I rely on public transport. So it takes a while longer with public transport. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, but these are like the two main passions of mine, just reading and immersing myself in nature. But I've got a new passion project now, which is I want to actually write a book, I think. I mean, I say I think because I'm yet to get 100% clear on how I'm going to do this. So basically, I think the better answer would be my passion project is to actually share my story, but I don't know how I will be sharing it yet. I'm thinking a book. I think this is the nudge that I've been getting to actually write it down. So I had some tech issues lately when I didn't have cable for my laptop. So now that I've got that and now it's the weekend, I've actually told myself, you know, sit down and actually start writing it. I've written down a few things that I want to include and, you know, like ideas for not chapters, but maybe stories that definitely need to be in the book and things like that. So I've already been spending a lot of time mentally thinking about what I want to include and writing those ideas down. But actually today, Naomi, will be the first day that I'm actually will be sitting down to actually put something to paper or right. on the computer screen. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
That sounds like a good project to be working on. There's a few of us at work that are working on writing. So it's kind of fun to, I mean, I haven't touched it for a while. That's one of my goals mm-hmm. this year is to touch it more instead of just being overwhelmed by the thing, but break it down. And one of the tools that was introduced to me was Readsy. It's like, you know, and I just thought it was just the visual makes it so much easier for me to want to write because it looks like a book, right? When you write it and not just a paper. So it's kind of nice. Yeah. I like that
you have to tell me more about that.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's kind of, it's readsy.com, but you know, it's just, I mean, I know there's lots of platforms that you can write books on. So I think that's one helpful hint for those of you that have a book in you, because they do say that, oh, hi, little guy, you know, that everybody does have a book inside them, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's good that you're venturing into that arena. So what do you want to add in your book? Like you said, your story. Mm-hmm. But are there main points that you kind of want to touch on or explore?
Yes. So basically my story is kind of like a discovery of self-worth. So, and the ultimate goal, if you can call this a goal, but is to actually help other women find their self-worth and strengthen their self-worth and knowing who they are, and that so that they actually have a healthy relationship with themselves first and foremost before they actually enter into relationships with others, predominantly entering then romantic relationships, because this is how it ties into my own story, because I was in a very toxic and abusive relationship for many years. Back then, I didn't realize that what it was. I was just very sad and depressed and felt extremely low, and kind of like completely abandoned myself and actually thought that I was absolutely worthless and stupid and all of those things. So it took me to actually completely break down. And I mean that literally. I mean, my whole bodily support system just broke down, and I had to have emergency spinal surgery because my body just completely, just, it was like a complete wipeout, right? So, and even then, imagine, even then I didn't get the wake up call, you know, it was, I was still lying in hospital or after, you know, after the surgery at home. And as it took me a while to actually realize what had happened, because I had basically given everything to this relationship and I completely had abandoned myself, you know, and believed all of those things the person was telling me about myself, you know, all these lies, you know, that like I said before, that I'm not worth it, you know, and that no one cares and I'm stupid and it's all in my head and I'm making this all up. And, you know, I was constantly treading on eggshells with this person and constantly in fear of whether he might have another, anger episode. And then, I've just lost my train of thoughts, but basically I completely abandoned myself and was very, very, very low. And it took me a long, long while to actually get over all of that, of those feelings of unworthiness. And I realized that, you know what, in order not to get myself and in order for other people not to get themselves in those kind of situations, it's super important that you work on your self-worth, you work on setting boundaries, you're working on self-care, you know, of taking care of yourself as a person. Because just because I'm in a relationship doesn't mean that I abandon myself. I'm still Christina. And to actually make sure that I'm okay, you are okay, and know that, you know, like really deeply, innately know that. And also work on trusting your intuition, because my intuition had told me a long, long time ago, before I even got into the relationship and even whilst I was in the relationship and before things turned completely toxic and really abusive, my intuition was nudging me and telling me this is not right. But because I'd been single for a long, long time, I in my head thought, you know what, well, this is just how relationships are, you know, don't you know, just hang in there, this is just how it's supposed to be. I didn't know any better. And also because of, and I know I'm bringing a lot of different, different aspects, I'm getting at it from different angles, but I also had this feeling that obviously society tells you, I think still does, right? It still tells women who are single that they're less of a woman, they're not worthy, they, you know, something's wrong with them. And I had that play in my head as well. So whilst I was in that relationship, I thought, you know, I mean, can't be worse than being single, right? Can't be worse than having all the people talk about you again, like, oh my God, she's single again, you know, like, couldn't even make that work, that sort of thing, right? I mean, it sounds silly, but these were the thoughts that were in my head. So I want to actually empower women to know, first of all, okay, work on the relationship with yourself. You are worthy. You are, you know, you are worthy of love and worthy of respect. But in order to get all that, you also need to respect yourself. If you don't respect yourself, then obviously something, you won't be setting healthy boundaries. You won't be caring for yourself. This is where self-care comes in. You know, you won't be actually looking after yourself. And to also know that it's okay to be single. You know, there's nothing wrong with you. There's, you are not less of a woman if you are not with a partner. So my book is talking about, wants to talk about those topics and about, yeah, being happy with yourself before you get to be happy with someone else. So, sorry, this was a very long answer, but
I love it.
That's what my book is about.
Yeah.
Oh, my story. Well, that's definitely my story. So I'm still figuring out how it's, but I think it's going to be a book.
Yeah. And I think that's great because, you know, I'm single, over 40, and those are the messages that I heard as well. And that I even thought, what's wrong with me? Years and years and years of that. And then I'm like, nothing's wrong with me. What's wrong with them for being in these bad relationships? You know, it's like, it wasn't healthy, you know? And so once that shifted, I'm like, yes, I want to be in a relationship, but I'd rather be in a healthy relationship or none at all. Because it's, I don't think it's worth the pain of being disrespected like that, you know, in relationships that I do see that other people are in. It's, I don't know. That's a choice I make, right? Mm-hmm. And like you said, hopefully more people will learn to respect themselves and set those boundaries and have those standards of a loving relationship, but also getting rid of that message, you know. And I think a lot of it does come from the church, which I'm, you know, not a big fan of. So it's changing that conversation, I guess, you know, like, yes, marriage and family is good, but singleness isn't the second best. It's all good, you know, and one definitely isn't above the other.
No, exactly. I mean, there are different paths to every life. And if that weren't so, everyone would be having long blonde hair, blue eyes, be a size zero, you know, do the same job, be married, have kids, have the house with the picket fence. And well, that's just not who we are. Everyone is different, and everyone has a different desire in their heart, has been placed a different desire in their heart, you know? Yes, of course, there are some people who always wanted to get married and have kids, and that's wonderful. That's great, you know? But there is people who want to solely focus on their career. That's great as well, you know, or there's people who don't want to get married, or there's people who don't want to have children. That's okay, you know, but the narrative needs to change. I mean, more people like us, I'm going to say, need to actually speak up about their experiences, and also so that the narrative also in the media and generally is changed, you know. Also, we have to have those conversations with the ones around us, you know, whether that's our friends, whether that's our families, whether that's our coworkers, you know, because this is the little sphere of influence that we have, right? I mean, we're always thinking about, oh, we have to like change the world. Well, yes, but I mean, it all starts with changing how I think about all these things,
right?
And then having those conversations with the people that are in my direct sphere of influence, and actually, yeah, make them realize that, you know, it's okay that you think that way, but you know, you also have to respect that there is another way, and that my way is just as valid as yours. So
right. I agree. It's a good message. And I like that idea. Like, I mean, that's kind of my message, right? It starts with you. It starts with how you think and how you show up. And then it's the ripple effect, you know, and some people will be part of that ripple and some people won't. And that's just part of their journey, you know, and we can't force it on anybody, and, but just continue to show up and be a light or something different. So I like that.
Yeah, because, you know, actually there is lots of women that I've spoken to that feel pressured to be in a relationship because of that stigma that still sticks with single women, you know. Oh, so that's not healthy. And also, like you and like myself, they think that, oh my God, there's something wrong with us, you know, like why does nobody see me? Or yeah, of course people will see you, but and there's nothing wrong with you. It's just these wrong messages that have been put out by society that there's something wrong with a woman who's single. Because actually, I mean, if you think about it, I don't think there is an equivalent word for spinster for males, you know, like for male people. It's kind of like bachelor, right? He's like a bachelor. Mm-hmm. Whereas a woman is just immediately, she's a spinster. She is, you know. Mm-hmm. So the language towards women is very derogative. Mm-hmm. And I know not all men are like this, you know, not all men think this way, and not all men would use those words to describe a woman who's single. But again, it's like a double standard in society where women have to defend their choices, whereas men are being celebrated, you know, like, oh, he's a bachelor. He's, you know, he's playing the field. He's whatever. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So it's on us to change that story as well and be like, well, you know what, single women are just as great as our single men, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And we all have a purpose in it, you know, as far as community, society, like we're all valid and valued in that. So yeah, I like that. And mm-hmm. I can't wait to read your book or however else you express it. That's going to be a fun project to work on, and it'll be good because it is a needed message, and, you know, so it'll be good.
Mm.
Yeah. Good, good. So is there anything else you want to share with anybody, some thoughts or, you know, just things that you're learning nowadays that you want to share to help others?
Do you mean generally or, yeah, just, I don't know.
Maybe aha moments that you've had recently that, you know, might be helpful for somebody else or.
Okay. Yes, actually I did have one or two aha moments recently. Which came about through Purposed Platform. One of them was that I have to show up for myself. I can't expect things to change if I am still showing up the same, you know. I have to actually show up differently if I want to see a change. And it was very hard for me. Like one of the limiting beliefs that I've held for a long time is that my voice doesn't matter, or, you know, what What do I have to say? You know, who's going to listen? That type of thing. But I've realized through this process that actually not just myself, but everybody has a story to tell and everybody's voice is valid. So I have to be step up and I need to actually use my voice and not hide. And hopefully by me doing that, it will inspire others to do just the same, to not feel like they're not important. Everybody is important. And it doesn't matter, you know, I mean, and I think what helps is to not think that you have to change the world again. It could be just you having that conversation with your coworker or having a really heart-to-heart conversation with a friend that changes their lives. By changing their lives, I mean, we're always sowing seeds when we're talking with other people, if we know or realize it or not, you know, but we always do. So we do have an impact on the world. So use your voice. I think that would be my message. If that's the aha moment it was really an aha moment and I'm still working on it. And it's not like, oh my God, I've mastered it now. I haven't. By all means, you know, there are still moments where I think, oh my God, I want to shrink. But I have now realized I need to work on that because it's important that my message gets out. And so it's important for all of us to actually use our voices, and because you don't know, your message might change somebody's life. And it just would be a pity to hold back because, you can do wonderful things.
Right. Yeah, I love that. That's a good one. It's one I've been working on as well because it's not necessary to hold that belief anymore because, it's just the audience of one, right? And that she talks about, that Patrice talks about, and that's what matters. So, and even sometimes I say, if that's just you, if you're your own audience, you need to, you know, tell yourself that message over and over to keep showing up and to keep, you know, doing your thing, then that counts too. So, but I think it will spread as well. So, yeah, I love that. Well, thank you for sharing all that. That was good. So do you have social media that you point people to? Like if they're anxiously awaiting this book that you're creating or wanted to connect with you in some way, do you want to point anybody in a certain direction?
That is a very good question. Because believe it or not, before joining P2P, I was actually about to delete everything. Well, and I'm saying everything, it sounds like I'm on all different social media platforms. I'm not. I'm only on Facebook at the moment. And I was actually about to delete that as well because I'd read a book about, you know, the algorithms of social media and blah-de-blah. And I was like, I do not want to contribute towards those algorithms and all that. But then obviously the opportunity with to join the community came up and there was no other way of being part of the community. So I reinstated my Facebook, which not many people know about. But okay, to answer your question, I have now created an Instagram account.
Nice.
And I will slowly but surely start posting on there. So if anyone wants to follow that. I mean, zero posts at the moment, so apologies about that. It's a work in progress, but it's called Hey, It's Frizzy.
Cool.
Yeah, nice. So that's where people can find me, I guess, you know. I mean, if anyone feels like, ooh, they want to just ask a question, you know, my DMs are open. You can ask a question, and hopefully I'll start soon posting things that will be helpful to people that have that can relate to my message or that want to know more about it.
Yeah. And I think there will be. Obviously, I told you my podcast audience is small, but you never know who's listening. And so you never know what connections you'll make. And so I think that's cool. I'm with you. It's like, I don't want to play into the social media game, but it's also a tool to get the message out. And if we, you know, can keep it positive and uplifting and encouraging, then that's what I want to use it for. And so,
Yes, so agreed. Agreed.
Yeah. Flip it all. So I just appreciate you taking the time today to talk with me and, you know, just show up and be present and share your story. So thank you for that. And I look forward to, you know, this journey in P2P and beyond, and just, you know, what life holds. So thank you.
Well, thank you for actually inviting me to your podcast. This is the first time I've actually done a podcast. So I hope it was helpful to someone or uplifting in some way, shape or form. And I'm looking forward to see how things unfold for you as well, Naomi, and how things are going to unfold in general. And hopefully there will be many more people coming out of their shells and doing what God has placed in their hearts to do, and inspire and uplift the little circles. And by saying little, I don't mean it in a demeaning way, but, you know, the small circles of our lives, and just start there and inspire the people around us to use their voice and help uplift others. Yeah. So thank you very much.
Beautiful. Thank you.
If you found this episode to be helpful, please feel free to share it. And if you'd like to leave a rating and a review, I'd appreciate that. If you'd like to connect, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Creative Purpose. If you have any specific questions you'd like me to talk on, you can leave them in my DMs.